Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast. This is episode 309. It's Trev, as always, hosting today because Mr. Grey Gamer is ill. So I'm joined by two other Big D Club members, or one might be kicked out, and I'll explain that in a moment. Mr. Matthew, Irish Garden, and Mr. Hans, Michael from Hell. Mr. Matt, in fact, let's start with Mr. Hans, because I'm coming to you next, Matt. Hans, how are you doing with your Big D membership?
Very good. I was able to get a stable overclock now on it, and everything runs fine.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful.
Beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful.
And Mr. Matt, with your small D Club membership, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm getting used to the Big D. What can I say? It's definitely worth it.
But we have to have a little convo here about Matt.
We do. We do. Do you want to tell them, Hans? Do you want to tell them?
Yeah, Matt, we're a bit disappointed in you. I mean, you have a pathetic 5080, and we can't have that right here in the club. I'm sorry. So I'm not sure what Trev's opinion on this one is. So yeah,
Matt, move your camera a little bit. Your wedge. No, the other way. Aye, yeah. Because you're cut off in the picture.
Yeah, it's doing it. Mad thing.
Is it an autofocus thing? I don't know. Anyway, I'll let me sort that in a minute. Yeah, so so what Hans was talking about was he's had a 5090 for, what, a couple of weeks now?
2 weeks now.
2 weeks now, and I saw a Founders Edition 5090 from the NVIDIA website going to stock, and I was trying to buy it the other day, and then it went out of stock as I was trying to buy it. I was gutted. I thought, okay, it's not meant to be, I'll save myself some cash. And then today on a stock checker I follow, it came back into stock. And I was like, no way. So I moved quick. You've never seen me fast, double click the mouse that quick in my life. And no, that is not youthism, boys and girls. And I got it secured and I got confirmation. So once you get the confirmation email, you know you're fine, so it's processing. So that should arrive tomorrow, the day after. Do I need it? No. Am I going to utilise its power? I'll try. And I'm back in the Big D Club, and you know what that means, essentially. So, but what did Mr. Grey Gamer do, Hans, with his membership?
I think,
he kicked me out of
the
membership, is what he did.
Yeah, he was a bit disappointed he was kicked out of the Big D Club, and we kind of bullied him into submission, and now... This 60-year-old man, by the way, just bought a 5090 off eBay to come back in the Big D Club. Which, respect, by the way. So, welcome back, Mr. Grey.
Do you feel bad, Hans, that you bullied a 68-year-old man?
Not at all.
Or is he 50, 67?
Not at all. Not at all. No, not for a second. You?
Not at all. But, I mean, he let himself get bullied by young whippersnappers into buying a 5090 that cost $2,000.
The kind of relationship he loves.
Oh, what, he likes young whip? No, that's not good.
So, when are you going to buy your 5090?
Well, you guys have to put in an extra 500 each, and then I'll get the 5090.
Well, I got the two lost parts already, so the zeros you can have, but the five I don't have yet.
He would have to sell his child or something, man, to afford one of them. They're bloody... I'm using credit.
Yeah. But for the people that are in the Discord, I posted a nice video about which organs you can sell the best to buy a gaming PC in this day and age. So, check it out.
I've actually used the Amazon's, what's the pay in five?
Ah, cool.
It's quite handy. I think
Gray did the same, I think, with eBay then. Not sure how it works with eBay. It's not possible over here to pay in installments at eBay, so...
Well, here it's...
Through PayPal,
It's through PayPal or Klarna or something, actually, so...
Yeah, we got that too. Klarna, it's like three or five, I think you can choose here.
Yeah. Kiarna, yeah. So. I just stuck it on my PayPal, 4 months interest free. I should be able to pay it off in that time.
Yeah, when I bought it, it was just like, okay, I'm just going to swipe the card and forget about it, right? It was like, boom, done. Get it over with, because,
Rip that band-aid off.
I'm hoping then to get 1,000 back for my 5080, because it's a partner card. It's a high-end one. It's their top-end Zotac Amp Extreme or something like that, with fancy LEDs, RGB and all that, and it's like three slot cards.
You could have just given me yours.
I could have given you. I'll give you something else instead.
Shocking.
It's good to be part of the club. We were all taking the fun about each other, taking the piss, listen, I don't need it, but, and I don't even 100% want it, but do you want to know something? To have that power in my hand, I'm going to feel like the Emperor from Star Wars.
Well, you know where he ended up with it. That's another discussion, but...
He did, but then he also saw Darth Vader. He wasn't sure which side of the Force to go to.
Somehow he returned, so don't worry.
Yeah, so, AMD, Intel, woof. I mean,
that's something we'll talk about later, maybe. But
okay. To be fair, Matt is in the club, but he's down there. He's cleaning our boots at the moment. He's in the club, but it's like when you play football, you have to clean the first team players' boots as a young boy, and then you move in. But you are in the club, so
as long as it doesn't get
in a mid range of from the boots, fine. I can deal with that. Be careful where you tread.
Seriousness, I mean, you're going to have a lot of fun with that card, right? Especially with the finals.
Oh, I'm having fun.
Hans, tell the people what you also done as well in terms of what else you're changing, which I'm very surprised at, and as to why, please.
Yes, I didn't change it yet because of the high RAM prices, let that be clear, but I have ordered myself a... Core Ultra 285, and I'm going back to the Intel platform because I am very, very, I can't say unhappy, but dissatisfied with the X3D AM5 platform. And this is for gaming, right? Not for content creation or anything else, because there is something about this whole AM5 that is just, when it comes to gaming, there's an incredible problem with the 1% lows. The micro stutters, which a lot of people won't even notice, but if you've been gaming as long as we do, you kind of start to notice the problems here and there, and the cracks are starting to show. And ever since I had to talk like a few weeks ago about tuning your X3D chips, right? There's a lot more videos now on YouTube also popping up about the same problems, and people are starting to notice. Now, just to make it clear, the X3D chips are not bad chips, right? So they are still very good CPUs, but they are not doing what I want them to do for the money that I paid for them. And especially when it comes to the frame pacing and the smoothness of the games, right? So for an example, when I was playing Borderlands 4, at some points I had 1% lows of 35 and 33. And I was like, what is going on here, man? And then you check the forums and one constant always came back. 9800 XVD. 9800 XVD. 7800 XVD.
So why does everyone go on about it being the best gaming chip then, Hans?
But the thing is, though, because the mainstream tech YouTubers that we all watch, right, and most people watch them, right, they aren't particularly honest, I think, about the problem with the chip. I mean, Gamers Nexus, if you watch their video, they had to dip a little bit. So, but other... TechTubers, they didn't have it, and they don't tune their systems, they don't tune their RAM, which is actually something you need to do with an X3D chip, because you're gonna run into problems. You had problems with Battlefield, right? Which is a problem that a lot of people have, by the way, with X3D chips. It's not just you. Now, to be fair, for the Intel system, you also need to do that. If you, let's say you buy a 4900K, run it stock, see what happens. In a year, you can throw your chip away because it's burned. I think it's horrible, but for me personally and the way I use my PC, Intel is a better option. I mean...
So they talked, Hans, when the 285 came out, the Intel 285 came out, that was slated. Yeah, because it was very good for productivity. It was often at the top for that, but for gaming, it was down the pecking order.
Yeah,
and they've tweaked it over time, haven't they? They've tweaked over time. So I want to ask you, have they fixed it? Have they made it better? Is it definitely going to be better and faster?
Is it better? That depends. That depends on what you want, of course. Is it faster?
Wow.
No, it is not faster. Oh, here he is.
The big dick, the real big dick is here.
Oh, yeah, we said the big D, just ruined it.
We just said the big D club, man. So,
you've told them what it means now.
I like the card picture with the.
I'm just gonna finish my sentence here, just to make it easy to cut this out, probably. So I mean, is it faster than a 9900 XQD or a 9950 XQD? Absolutely not. When it comes to the high frame rates and the thing, no, the XQD chips are better. Is it better in the 1% lows in the frame pacing? Yes, that's the reason I'm buying it. It has nothing to do with the high FPS, but with the smooth FPS, so to speak.
What are you buying now? Wait a minute. I came in late.
He's switching to Intel now.
Yeah, I'm switching back to Intel. You're out of the club now.
Well, here's the thing, Gray. This is what I want to do with you.
You know AMD stands for a massive dick, so you're out.
See, we're going to get demonetized here for sure in this thing. But,
dick monetized.
I'm talking about my friend.
Here's something I want to do with you then, Gray, right? When this system is up and running, because I don't have any RAM for it, I refuse to buy a RAM at these prices.
Yeah, I get it.
Let's make it very clear. Because I need like 8,000 megatrans for RAM at least to make this work, I wanted to do, right?
None of us will be buying RAMs or GPUs for 2 or 3 or 4 years.
I'm kind of scouring the internet now to see if I can get a deal somewhere, but so far it's unlucky. But here's what I want to do. When the system is up and running, I am putting it up against your system, and let's see who has the better frame times.
I'll always come out ahead because I got a godlike board.
No, you'll actually lose by a significant amount.
You're not utilizing that, man. You're not utilizing that. Nowhere near its potential.
Just overcompensating.
Yeah. No,
just to be clear, I don't hate AMD, by the way. Just a personal preference for what I do. So.
Teach their own. Teach their own at the end of the day. Yeah. So
now I think we need to get back into the segment with Gray here because go ahead, Gray, explain yourself.
Before you explain yourself, Gray, after you've explained yourself, I want you to add on to the end what it was like to be out of the Big D Club and then back in it quicker than wham bam. Thank you, man.
I was never out of the Big D Club. You guys
were. You were for a bit.
Oh, yeah, an hour.
So why did you do it? Why did you let youngsters bully a 68-year-old man? I mean, what was going on there?
Be calling old.
Fetish.
This is actually, I colored my hair to be this way.
Oh, man.
Explain yourself.
Well, I wasn't good. I had two ideas in my head. One was, could I get it for less than even you bought it for? I was able to accomplish that. I did a wide search, and then finally I found a guy on eBay selling it brand new in the box.
Okay. Can we back up a little bit here?
That's mm-hmm. good.
Why did you start a search in the first place? I want to go back in time a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
I had always planned to search for it. I mean, I
had Sure.
Is that the code we're going with? Okay. Just continue.
Because I had to be there with my buddies, man. That's all, you know. I mean, that's what it is.
Were you feeling inferior, Greg? Were you feeling inferior? Right?
I wasn't feeling anything. What, were you feeling anything?
Oh, yes. A lot of things, my friend.
You need a lot of them,
so. Well, you remember I mentioned in the Discord, I said I need to get a really big ruler so I can measure.
that is a good price. I assumed when you got it from eBay it was like used but not used much, so if that is still brand new in the box, that is a fantastic deal, because it's the Asus TUF, which is basically their edition of like a founder edition. It's an entry level, so they don't make much in that, but that's the card that Hans wanted, he said, because it looked the coolest. In terms of performance, Hans will get a few more frames out of it because he's got a good partner card.
Maximum 2 or 3 FPS. So it's not really worth mentioning.
I'll be honest, I love the Founder Edition. I've always had, they're very unique designs. I like them. They always come out first. They're always the cheapest and they're still well performing because it's NVIDIA that make them. But you want the very, very best, you go with a Asus or a Zotac or something like that, you know. So
there wasn't a Zotac I saw too, but it was $490
was a Zotac, was a really good card. So
jeez, I never thought to do it. You done great, actually, but I mean, you know, it's a good thing that you done it. You said you were paying it up over a couple of years, so is that like a PayPal thing or does eBay do?
I have a interest free card.
Were asking ourselves that earlier because over here you can't do eBay in installments, so that's I was asking. So
well, you can on PayPal. They have a thing with 6 months, no interest.
Yeah,
but
they do.
Card is over a year, so it's kind of like
I done that recently. I switched my balance from one to another, 3 years interest free. Yes,
my plan is, and I think it's a decent plan.
Am I the only one whose card is actually paid off then? Asking. Oh my god.
Well, you have
the rest of us are sweating.
Sorry?
You have no more kidneys left. That's why. I mean, otherwise.
Yeah, at least we still own all our own organs.
Well, I used to have a daughter, but let's keep it at that. So,
Oh, no.
Well, here's my plan. Let's see if this is going to be a sound plan. The idea is in the coming months or year, whatever, we all know that RAM is going to continue to go up. Heck, my RAM is worth twice as much when I bought it and is used.
True.
The same is going to happen with a graphics card, even if it is a 40 series.
Already happening at the moment over here.
Right. So I'm going to keep my eye on it over the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 months, whatever. And when I see that there's a peak happening, then I'm going to sell the card and the RAM. And that will probably get my 5090 down to half or even below.
That's ballsy.
So that's the reason.
Actually,
otherwise, to be honest with you, if it wasn't because of the shortage and all the prices going bananas on RAM and cards eventually, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. That is why I asked Trev earlier, like, was this like a now or never kind of thing? Because for me, it was. I mean, we all saw the writing on the wall, what's coming. And
the
price that I paid, which is the most of them all, sadly, but that's the way it is over here, right?
Of course, you know what's going to happen now in about a year.
I paid €3,299 over here. The same card is now up to €3,599. Like 2 weeks.
What is that? And how much? 3,300.
33.
I'm going to do a little conversion.
Could have gotten free on eBay.
He paid nearly just under £2,900.
Yeah,
that's probably $2,500.
And the same card is now €200 more. You
have literally spent over a grand more. Me for a few ideas.
That's true. No, it's true. Absolutely.
Jesus, but,
the tough one that I wanted was only €20 less. I was like, okay, for €20, I'm buying the Astral at that point.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, that's, so, okay. No, that's a better model.
Actually the thing behind that one.
Well, but,
it's
interesting, boys. It's interesting.
Way, sorry if I'm sucking on lozenges because I'm still got a cold. So
he's got the man flu.
Like,
that's a very serious condition.
It's deadly. The only way to cure it is buying a 5090. Check.
I got cured right away as soon as I purchased it. It was like I couldn't believe it. It's just like it's gone. Like wow.
The same question to you very quickly before we move on. Was it also for you a now or never kind of thing?
That had something to do with it. Yeah, I can't say it didn't. Because, you know, unless something bizarre happens, we know at the very least we're not going to see new cards come out for probably 2 years, and it could be longer than that.
Yeah, because we all heard the rumor that NVIDIA is no longer supplying
The VRAM.
I
read an article, though, that's true and not true. They said that they said that they didn't mean they won't put VRAM on there, but they're moving towards that. In other words,
so they're just going to give them
now,
the chip.
They're letting them know now that any day they're going to, it's going
to
be
so
that
the
way.
The AIBs need to source their own RAM, and which is going to drive the prices up crazy high.
That is smart, though, because they'll put obviously VRAM in their own cars. So that's pretty genius. Actually.
I know. I can't. You know, it's coming. They're going to put 24 gigs into a card like mine, the 4070 or something like that. They're going to sell, and I mean, they could do a lot of things, maybe.
Trust me, Gray, the 4070 to them is dead.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I mean, to NVIDIA, I mean, not to us, but...
If a 5080 existed with enough RAM for a really good price, I would have gotten that.
Yeah, we said this before, like the 5090s that we have now, right? Those are actually, you know, scraps from their AI cards. These are the cards that didn't cut it.
Oh, see the fact that that has came into stock twice over the last couple of days, the 5090, that is lending into this whole VRAM shortage, memory shortage in general, and why NVIDIA are delaying the cards for a while longer. And they've just, what they've probably done is poured a bit more resource into their 5000 series. Because the thing is, right, see when a 5080 or 90, especially the 5080, goes out of stock on NVIDIA's website, it never comes back in, usually in the past. So the fact that the 5080 is still there, the 5090, after I checked just before we started the pod, was still there. And it's a good price, air brackets, for a 5090.
It is a good price for a 5090.
NVIDIA has a lot of 5068 gigabytes laying around.
Yeah, but do you guys think that the supers are still coming out? I think they're canceled.
Yeah. No way.
And I also think, and I want your opinion on this one too, I think the rumor online is now that the 60 series cards will be delayed to probably 2028.
That's what I keep hearing.
That long?
Yeah. So, and I was wondering, what do you guys think about that one? Do you think...
I think
it's true. That's my question, actually. So
even if we want to be optimistic, I don't think it's going to be until at least 2027 or mid 2027. So that sounds, not too far off, from what everybody's saying.
2027, I think.
I think beyond GPUs, the RAM is a bigger issue.
Normally, they would come out at, let's say, quarter one of 2027, but that is not happening probably. So
do you know why this is happening, guys? Well, you guys know, but for the people listening and watching it, maybe don't know why. Was it OpenAI?
OpenAI.
Yeah? They basically created a deal. They made a deal to buy up 40% of the worldwide supply of RAM. 40%, 40, which is mind blowing because you need a lot of RAM for AI.
Yeah, you and it even goes things. Further, right? They didn't just buy RAM, they bought the wafers, the unfinished wafers.
Yeah, so, which is crazy. Rare, actually. That's mental.
Yeah. And what do the other AI companies do? Oh, no, we need RAM also. So they start buying it up.
They took the other 40 or 60%.
What happens over here right now, my kit of RAM, which I bought for like 300 or something, like a year ago, is now 924. Crazy.
Well, if you find the deal, you have to actually like sell that on then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could maybe sell it and then buy a faster RAM for my other system that I want to buy, but we'll see.
I'm not
in a hurry, by the way, so that system can still lay around here. So, I mean, this one works fine. So,
it's good to be back in the Big D Club for everyone with Matt Clune in the boots. So, we'll move on there because it's been a lot of hard work to start.
Didn't hear your voice. Hi.
Hello, Johnny.
Yeah. He's still alive.
You guys thought the BD Club was something. I think OpenAI buying 40% of the RAM is in another level of BD somewhere. I don't know.
They're looking down BD. At also.
That's the CBD, the commercial, the Big D Club. Don't forget, people, to join the Discord if you haven't already. discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast. If you want to ask a hardware question or a gaming question, we'll talk about that on the podcast. If you want to put your rig, your gaming rig PC in there, you can do. We've done that in the past, and we've been talking a lot about RTX 5090s today. It's been pretty funny. Taking the piss out of each other, bullied a 68-year-old man into buying a 5090.
Didn't take much.
So, or you can email us at info@extremegamingpodcast.com. That's the other option as well. This, what we talked about at the start about the 5090, it will make a very good EGP quick break. And what those are little bite-sized episodes from the main audio podcast that we do, or the main video podcast, because that's not really a thing now. And we'll put several of them come out every week. And it just means you can go and watch the best stuff still listening to our audio podcast at the same time. And last but not least, don't forget the YouTube memberships are there as well. For like $2, £2, €2, you get a couple of bells and whistles and you help support the channel. But of course, subscribing is free, and that's the most important thing. So, Mr. Matt, while we're on the hardware train, my friend, you may as well stay on there and ride that train hard by telling us about some more hardware news.
Okay, I'll tell you about my hardware. Well, not my hardware, yeah. This one isn't anyway.
You wear it hard, I get it.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. There we go. Yeah, I wear hard. All about it. Yes, Intel Arrow Lake refresh. Ooh. It's giving its, what's it, the Arrow Lake S platform one final update before moving to the Nova Lake. Three new CPUs are on the way. The Core Ultra 2 and the, what's it, the 270K Plus and the 250K Plus.
Maybe I should get that one. I can still do that.
Yes.
No, seriously, maybe I should get that one. That's not a joke. Maybe I should actually consider that. So.
No, seriously, you should, because it won't have the problems that the 285 had.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm just going to do that. I'm going to do this live on air and cancel this one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's it. Do it now. Go
on. See, he's worse than us.
He's doing a live purchase right now.
Well, I got to be to it. Hold on.
Yeah, that's right. We're all going to do it now.
Yeah, come on. Let's do it. See
we don't care. We don't need it. We're just going to do it anyway.
Right now. See, I'm canceling my order right now. There we go. Yeah. Canceled.
Canceled. Woo.
Done that in time. Yeah. Sorry,
Matt. April Fools. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry, Hutta.
Yeah. Matt, you need some residuals, man. I mean, you know, you're the one that got him to buy it.
What does that mean that
Hans gets then? He's got a hell of a lot of residuals if that's the case.
Yeah. I need some residuals out of anything, to be honest.
Wait, just to get back on this one, did I start a 5090 train or something?
Yeah, you did. You kind of did. You were doing it. You did it.
It was my birthday present to myself. I mean, I'm sorry.
It is how he foreseen.
Well, yeah. You deserve it. There you go.
There you go.
Carry on, Mr. Matt. Tell us more things.
Right. Core Ultra 290K Plus is same with 8P plus 16E. That's performance cores and your efficiency cores there. The layouts as the 285K, but with higher clocks. The performance cores now boost to 5.6 gigahertz, where the efficiency cores to 4.8 gigahertz. The thermal velocity boosts will be hitting 5.8 of your gigahertz. So there you go. The
Core Ultra. Do you know if it's on the same motherboard?
Should be.
Test it. See what happens. They shouldn't change a motherboard for the refresh,
they
guys.
They shouldn't.
But I'm just asking to be sure, that's all.
Too late now, you bought it. There you go.
So no, I didn't. I cancelled the other one. So that's what I did.
Was it a godlike board? Was it a godlike? No?
Yeah, godlike says nah.
Nah.
That's it. Get Odin's hammer instead.
I want a Kratos edition.
Yeah, there you go.
Let the man finish.
Why me? Just because I got 5080.
Yeah. Peasant.
It's close enough, don't worry.
Yeah.
Right, the Core Ultra 270K Plus moves from the 8P plus 12E cores to 8P plus 16E. There you go. Giving the mid-range buyers more efficiency cores, boosts the speeds, rise higher slightly. Through base clocks dip to keep power in check. The Core Ultra K Plus shifts from the 6P plus E to the 6P plus 12E with modest clock bumps designed as a mainstream upgrade without raising power limits. The memory support for all the three CPUs now officially support DDR5-7200 up to
they can do way higher.
6,400.
Really?
Yeah, they can do way higher. Yeah, they can do way higher. Yeah,
that's absolutely a safety thing, though, Pans. Yeah. I guess they always do that.
Yeah, they need a little safety bumper there.
That's the pre-burned up stage.
Yeah. well, it's a meaningful uplift. Yeah.
I'm going to stay silent.
So this positions Intel in keeping the Core Ultra 200 naming schemes with a plus suffix, avoiding confusion with their upcoming Ultra 300 series. So think of this as its last hurrah for the LGA 1851 socket before Nova Lake.
Oh, it is. Right. new motherboard.
I can keep the motherboard that I pre-ordered then. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, welcome. There you go.
Yeah. So, but does anyone else think that the naming scheme is just stupid now with Intel?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
I don't like the core of awesome.
Why did they not stick to the old one? I liked it. Like the 15900K. It made sense. Just keep it, man. What?
It was easier to keep track on. What you're buying. You know what good.
And also, Matt, the whole nanometer thing is very different between the two companies as well.
You can see that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like all the pluses have gotten in. They change it completely all the time. So I get confused.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just too much.
Yeah. Right, that's interesting, Arrow Lake refresh, mate, because I'm surprised. I thought that we'd just go put all the resources into the next gen because they are way behind still in AMD. I know that. So
especially when it comes to sales. I think, was AMD like 57% or something in sales compared to, that's crazy.
Yeah, but NVIDIA's involved now, so there'll be some cash coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
AMD needs to step up their game in other things because otherwise they're going to get decimated. If you hear the rumors, I'm sure it's on the docket here.
An Apple AMD deal or something.
Yeah, we will. There is rumors of a new chip coming from them, which I will definitely need to buy to stay, to have a chance of being a leader of the Big D Club. So anyway, right, there is more news for Mr. Matt here, some 5080 shenanigans, which is bad news for you, Matt, I think.
It was bad news for me. It was drama. Let's call it the Crash Chronicles of the RTX 5080.
The Crash Chronicles.
There we go. It comes under fire. There you go. So a dose of hardware drama with gaming insights with a few diagnostics as well from myself.
Speak up, Matt. We're cutting out. Speak up.
I'm not cutting out.
There you go.
You are, sir.
You were, sir.
You get nice and quiet, then all of a sudden we can't hear you.
I do that on purpose just to make sure you're listening. That's what it is. Yes. So here we go with the. Let's dive into the story that's been lighting up some forums and frying temperature sensors. The curious case of the RTX 5080 instability during games and everything else. So the issue that I found is crashes. A lot of crashes were happening from 5 to 10 minutes on, Battlefield, first of all. So I've actually put this in this way. The West London-based IT professional and gaming hub founder, Matt of Flynn's Computing.
Oh, you've got your own club.
I've got the thing
club
going on now.
BD club.
Yeah. There you go. So I've got a frustrating pattern of Battlefield sessions crashing constantly within about 5-10 minutes of launch. The culprit was a complex cocktail of high-end GPU behavior, power delivery quirks, and API conflicts, among other things as well. So the key finding that I found was the thermal saturation of the GPU temp spiked past 90 degrees under Battlefield's DX load, triggering crash events. Hardware monitor logs confirmed that the thermal instability after 4 to 10 minutes of gameplay. The power delivery gaps the RTX 5080 OC variant demands, which needs serious wattage. My setup revealed borderline PSU specs, even though I got 1,000 watt on
should
there.
Should be more than enough.
It should be, yeah. And a PCIe cabling, which contributed to sudden shutdowns. So a lot of people were saying that there was the accessory of the adapter, the cable adapter that came with the card, flawed. There's a lot of them that are not up to the task and they start burning out a lot quick, very quick indeed sort of thing, which was the last part that I tried to deal with because I checked everything else. I bought an extra cable, direct cable this time from the GPU to the PSU directly rather than having the adapter. A lot of people are doing that. It makes a lot more performance safety as well there. So the driver and BIOS conflicts added to that as well. So clean installs the NVIDIA drivers. Motherboard BIOS helps stabilize some sessions, but not all of them. Separate PCIe cables for each connector proved essential. So you go, that's what I found so far. API sensitivity. The crashes were exclusive to the DX12 and Vulkan titles. The DX11 ran clean, pointing to VRAM and engine level instability.
Very quickly, did this only happen in Battlefield 6 or other games?
No, it started with Battlefield 6 and then it went on to Star Citizen.
Because Battlefield 6 is a very special case when it comes to GPUs and CPUs. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So with this one, I did try other games as well from my Steam account, and they all did the same thing from there on in.
It was a GPU issue at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it also caused a sleep and hibernation corruption to the files there beyond the game, where, it pretty much caused instability tied to Windows sleep and hibernation states, corrupting that and the resume. Was it the resume features that were traced back to registry level misconfigurations, which I had to go into the registry and redo manually. I had to delete what was there and then re-add to that, including an extra suffix.
What a bollock.
It is, yeah. So with that and all that I've found so far, it's working so far so good. I've still got the cable there just in case. There.
Are you going to tell everybody that you stayed up like 24 hours working?
I stayed up pretty much 48 hours, pretty much. I think
I understand that. It would drive me insane also. And I'm so stubborn that if there's a problem, I won't quit until it's fixed. I'm even calling you sick in work sometimes if I have such a problem. So
it was funny because I'm in a different time zone. So it's like 11 o'clock or whatever. So I knew over there it was like 4 in the morning. And and Matt's still posting, going like, "Are they gonna?" And I'm replying to him, going like, "You know, okay, cool." And then I look, got up the next morning, and I see another post or two, even later after I already went to sleep. And I'm like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, I pretty much stayed up all night troubleshooting this. I think it's probably the longest troubleshooting thing I've done so far.
I have never heard it from a 5080. To be fair, that particular problem that you have. So, but. One thing you have with GPUs or with PCs in general, there's always someone else with the same problem somewhere.
Yeah.
So, and that's where forums come into play.
And Hans, tell Matt what would fix his 5080 problem.
Not just buy a 5090, we don't have any problems up there. So, not at all.
Well, none of you put that on the chat, so I would have done. I would have gone, fuck this, I'm sending this back. Give me that now.
You still can. Do you own it for 2 weeks? You can still send it back at a 5090.
No. Yeah, I can still send it back even after a 30-day thing because it's not up to task for the Consumer the Consumer Act 2020. God knows what else.
What you should do is take your 5080 and see if the price has gone up. Sell it to somebody else for more money.
Yeah.
And then buy your 5090.
Yeah, you that's what I'll do. Yeah, I won't do that.
That's what I did to my 4090. I almost got as much money as I paid it for. So that's the economy.
Yeah, I still got the 47% off as well.
Well, I'm glad you got it sorted, Matt. I'm glad
that was the most important. Oh, no.
You're still at it.
No, don't be trying to kick me out of this, mate. Oh, why?
More.
I've done the work. I've done 24 hours. I can talk it all the way through it. Yeah, so I put on a guide, a little troubleshooting guide on Discord as well. For everybody else to have a look through there, which is verifying your game files as well, because you still need to do that. Disabling overlays, clearing shader cache and Windows settings, antivirus exceptions, especially for Battlefield, because there's a bit of a... reviewing your Windows power settings and registry entries tied to your sleep and hibernation behaviors. It's not just a one-off glitch. It's a wake-up call for enthusiasts pushing bleeding-edge GPUs.
Are you saying you did some PC tuning, which these boys here haven't done yet?
Not yet.
Oh, well. In this case, I had to. I had to go through everything because the power internal consumption errors that were coming up didn't make sense because it wasn't hitting the thermostat at that point to show me the right clock. Temperatures or anything like that. So I literally had to take my machine apart and redo everything, including cable tidying.
Welcome to the modern PC gaming experience. I mean,
fun and games.
No, everybody out there, listening to Matt, they're all writing down, I'm buying a Steam machine.
Back to the PlayStation, love.
Oh, God, that's a sad reality.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Are you finished, Mr. Matt? I do not want to get into trouble off you. I have to double check. It's okay. Yeah. Think of something else. They probably will, actually.
Yeah.
Good
like
lad.
Like that lady from the police academy. Get off
the... I don't know who you're talking about. Okay.
You sound like Hooks from Police Academy. Know?
Police Academy?
Yeah, that's it.
Hooks.
Police Academy.
Well, I've seen it. I just don't remember that line off the top of my head. Hopefully not, yeah.
The best of the police story.
Shocking. I can't believe. I hope you bloom and watch the films at least.
I mean, I can't promise nothing.
Oh, no, he's not part of the Big Dick Club.
Now. You're out of the beating club.
Yeah, you're out.
We have a little small...
You're like rep,
little small sponsor cross promo where we're doing with the guys over at Game Hole. We talked about this last couple of weeks. It's still an ongoing thing at the moment. We had Game Hole on a few months ago. Right. And it was a great system of, instead of renting a server for a month at a time, which is the norm, you could actually do it per hour, which is handy for some LAN events and stuff where you maybe only want to play for one evening or whatnot. It made sense, to be honest with you. And he, at the moment, does have a bunch of free hours on the website. If you go over to GameHo, that's GameHo.io/EGP, for Extreme Gaming Podcast, you'll get an additional 4 hours on top of the 3 that you get for going to Game Hole anyway. So you'll get 7 hours for free, which will take care of one evening gaming for you and the guys if you want. So head over there and say we sent you. Right, I don't know how relevant this is now. I think it's all maybe on for a bit longer. I'll mention
Friday, it really quick. Monday, it's still going.
Yeah, for those that listen to the pod in a couple of days' time, these things should still be available. Sony actually took a decent amount off their consoles actually to make them more affordable again. The PS5 Pro got more than £100 taken off it. So it's now temporarily £590. It's a 16% discount down from £700. But also the other PlayStation accessories and consoles as well all come down in price as well. The digital edition is $290 down from $380, which is a fantastic saving. That's 21% saving. And the controllers and stuff as well, the VR headset, that's all come down in price as well. I don't know how long it's on for, so I'm hoping it's still on if you hear this and you check that out for yourself. So... there was some good Black Friday deals, boys. I got a few things. I basically done my Christmas shop during that, so kind of jobs are good. Also, the next thing, I might actually have to share a picture of this, to be honest with you. It's kind of, actually, is do I want to? No, I won't, actually. I won't, because I don't want to put people off. No. So the title was Debugging PS5, right? Now, that meant something a little bit different. Somebody got sent in a PS5 for repair, and I found this amusing. That's why I wanted to talk about it. And it says a PlayStation 5 needed some heavy duty debugging, literally. The guy opened it up. He was told it was not turning on at all. The guy opened it and he said, "Oh, there's cockroach droppings everywhere, and that's probably what shorted something out." So he was like, "This is disgusting." Blah blah blah, cleaning it, and then he actually dug in a bit deeper to the PlayStation 5, and he actually saw a couple of cockroaches coming out of it. So he went, "Nope,
let's get it on.
I ain't touched that. They're disgusting creatures." There's a reason they still survive nuclear fallouts, and they're in Fallout, the game, the movie, because they're disgusting.
They're older than humanity. So
basically what the guy done was he literally wrapped it back up in shrink wrap and sent it back to the guy, because I think what he was going to do before was charge for it, but charge a little bit more because like danger money, but he's like, I'm not touching that under the circumstances. I kind of don't blame them. So, yeah, there we have it. Now, The other thing is slightly sad, and I want to see who remembers who this guy is. If you haven't Googled it, have you ever heard of a guy called Udo? That's U-D-O. Udo Kier.
Is he the music guy?
Oh, you don't care.
It's really bad, man. That's awful, yeah. No, he is a German actor. He is a German actor, so I have probably butchered the pronunciation. How would you pronounce that?
Let's see how it's written. One second.
Udo space Kier.
Udo Kier.
Udo Kier, yeah. Right. He, for those that remember Command and Conquer back in the day, played Yuri. Remember him? And Command and Conquer Red Alert series. Now, he has passed away. Now, it's a bit of a shame because he was a bit of a video game legend when they filmed the live kind of video scenes for that game, which was kind of, not a first, but it hadn't been done much back in the day, you know? And I remember the cutscenes of that being brilliant. It's one of the best parts of it. Passed away age 81. And he's appeared in other things as well. He's actually appeared in movies. So he's actually an actor, as proper actor as well. Blade and Ace Ventura Pet Detective. I remember who he was in Ace Ventura Pet Detective. He was the bad guy. And he's been in other video games, Call of Duty, World War II, and Martha is Dead. There's a game called Martha is Dead. Is that like a Batman, Superman?
I was just going to say, that is a criminally underrated game. It's a really good game. It's kind of a horror game about two sisters in the war.
Yeah.
One gets killed and they replace each other. Because Martha is beloved by her parents and the other sister isn't. And they're twins. And when Martha drowns, she says that she's Martha and the other one died. So it's just crazy. So it's a really good game.
I thought it was a Batman Superman meme or something.
No. It's a really good game.
Martha.
Well, he was another big thing was he was actually due to appear in Hideo Kojima's horror game OD that he's got in production at the moment. I'm guessing that's not going to happen because they probably haven't filmed that by the sounds of things or recorded those scenes, which is a shame. And there was a strike at one point as well, so they weren't actually able to film those scenes. They rescheduled it for next year, so no, we won't get that anymore. So rest in peace, Udo. Were a brilliant bad guy in Red Alert.
Legend. So
you really were.
And in Blade.
And Blade, yeah. I don't know who he was in Blade.
Oh, he was the bad guy. Dragonetti.
I'm going to Google him after, actually. That's,
I haven't seen Blade in a very long time. So
The Marvel Universe wouldn't be thing without it. So
Very good movie, but I haven't seen it in like 10 years or something at least.
And brilliant music as well. Bass in the place. London.
Yeah. Watching.
The last bit of hardware news, because it's been hardware and centred at the first half of this pod at least anyway, and this is the most exciting bit for me. We discussed this either last week or the week before, and we thought it was just a rumour, but it was actually getting downvoted in terms of it being a rumour. It probably wouldn't happen. But this has actually been leaked from AMD themselves, or come from AMD website. They may have inadvertently launched the Ryzen 7 9850X3D that we discussed before, right? Now, this comes from several sources. I was looking at PC Gamer for this. And we discussed it last time how it would basically be a 9800X3D, but more clocks, more speed on the clock. So it would have 400 megahertz advantage, which is good for me because that's the only thing that, I mean, in terms of gaming, it's not going to be night and day difference. No, as we
I was
know.
Just going to say, for gaming, upgrade it.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
The thing that will be useful is if you're using a 9800 for, like, for example, Hans right now is getting 9800. If he wanted to start doing some more
productivity work,
video editing, productivity and stuff, that would help him getting that little speed boost there.
Yeah.
So it then becomes like a mini 9950X3D because. I think the cache and all that, but the sounds of it is kind of the same.
Aren't they the same on this one?
Yeah, I think they are, mate. I think it's just a speed boost. It's kind of a refresh, but let Intel are doing. This is a useful refresh for me because I'm on AMD at the moment. I would think I would think this boosts to 5.6 gig. I would like to think with really good cooling, you could pull off 6 gig. I'd love that. I'd love it, but again...
It would be
what's the 9800? What's the 9800 like for overclocking and cooling, Hans?
Cooling is okay, no problem there. Overclocking, as with all 3D chips, you can overclock it, but it's like... There's really not much to be gained there. The thing you have to do with the X3D chips, that you need to undervolt them first by, let's say, negative 30 offset in the BIOS, and then go overclock and see what you reach stable. I think minus plus 150 or something, which is barely anything, to be fair. It's not bad. Huh? I mean, it works, and it takes a lot less power once you undervolt it, and it a lot less heat, but...
Instead of undervolting, are you not better just using that extra power that you would no doubt need to boost the clocks higher?
If you do that, you will run into serious stability issues with the AMD, with the X3D chips, which is, I think, is sad. I mean, the price you pay for these chips, right? They should be able to do it all. And when it comes to overclocking, they just don't. And I don't think... Overclocking is a necessity, by the way. A lot of people say you need to overclock, you need to do this, you need to do that. I mean, for 150 to 200 megahertz when it comes to games, there's no gain there. I mean, what are we talking about? Half an FPS? In that case, you're better to undervolt and then do a little bit of overclock just to be, you know, a little bit smoother in your games. I mean, what are 1 or 2 FPS less compared to, you know, all thermal throttling? Because what I do notice is that mine, it runs flawlessly at the same clock speed, like constantly.
Good.
Which is what I wanted to achieve. And
you want something stable at the end of the day for that price.
Yeah. I
would be highly interested in getting one of these when it came out, because I love the 9800, and it's got just a lot more speed on it, which is exactly what I was after. It would make it very, very close. In fact, not for gaming, it was certainly supersede the 9950 X3D for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I look forward to that. The rumours are it'll come out the Q1 of 2026. No wording on leak pricing, but considering the 9800 X3Ds went down to like £400 or something, then...
£430 over here, so I'm guessing £500?
Yeah, if it was no more than 500, I would go, okay, you've maybe got a deal there. Because you would get decent money back for your old chip. So, and then you've got I'll have a perfect machine. I'll be happy with that.
I don't want to be the dead horse here, but even that new chip, you're going to have to tune a little bit.
Of course,
you're going to have to do it. I mean,
you would have to listen, if you're buying parts that high and expensive, it's negligent to not tweak it and get as much out of it as you possibly can. It would be silly, wouldn't it? So I'm kind of glad. I am really looking forward to this. I'm going to keep my eyes and ears peeled to see when they would launch such a thing, because it might be very, very difficult to get hold of this, to be honest with you. That is me from my side of things. I don't know, Mr. Gray, if you want to... bring back your mod corner for today or not?
Sure, I'll
struggle mod
through.
Corner.
That's a nice jingle. I like
that. Sneeze in the middle of it or something.
Oh boy,
we'll see. I was checking out this article that Witcher 3D HD reworked Project Next Gen Edition 2026. A lot to say. And then I was kind of wondering, like, wait a minute, I've seen this before. So what are they talking about? But as I started to read it. There's a modder out there with a great name. His name is Hulk Hogan.
H-A-L-K,
Hulk Hogan. And he actually created the original mod package that went on Witcher 3 a few years ago, which greatly enhanced the whole game and made it work real well. But he decided that he wanted to go back on his old work and revamp it and make it even better and then bring it out in 2026. And that's what he's doing. So apparently there's a lot of things that were in the game that were still rather flat looking. He felt that some of the surfaces that he created and stuff could look better, a little more on the ray tracing end, a little more on the realistic end. So he just went to work, and apparently this is going to be available relatively soon. The interesting thing was the last time he made the package, Even CD Projekt Red actually adapted it for their update way back. So that's how much this guy is respected on what he's done, you know, for the game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this is going to be doing. They don't say exactly when it's going to be out, but you can get the version that he did before right now if you want on Nexus Mods. But if you hang in there, I assume, I'm guessing early 2026, although I don't know for sure. By the way, he said that once this is done, you'll be able to run it at 4K as well. Now, there is a video on YouTube that you can watch, and he shows, you know, side-by-side comparisons and stuff of what the older project and what the new project is. Pretty cool. Some of it's rather striking, which really gives you just that much more immersion in the game. So I thought that was pretty cool. So look for it. If I hear about when it comes out, I'll definitely tell you on the podcast. So
the amount of mods that come out for The Witcher, man, the amount of mods. Is it the most modded game in the history of video games? Maybe, possibly.
I think Skyrim.
Skyrim. Got to be Skyrim.
But Witcher 3 is right up there. It's
not
like
Skyrim's been out longer. So to be fair,
yeah, but Skyrim has a dedicated fan base that I personally never really understood. But
Skyrim looks great. I'm waiting for this guy that's going to release. I forget what he called the mod. I reported on it, and I saw the difference in what he does with this. And I think it was what did he say? I think it was like 2,000 mods.
Yeah,
but he's got it into an install. He put everything now into an install package. Ooh, so all you got to do is click it once, and it loads it all in. That's beautiful because you don't want to sit there and go, "Oh my god, 2,000 mods! It'll take me like
yeah, that would put me off."
There are videos on YouTube about Skyrim completely modded. Like, this is a completely different game.
It's kind of like Starfield, right? I mean, I haven't played the
Star Wars
mod talked about.
Yeah,
but I keep hearing people telling me it's great, and they're also making updates to that mod, the Star Wars mod as well.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so, and then there's another one. There's another article I read where somebody went in there and modded just the game itself to see how much they could improve it. And I did post that in our Discord. But this guy, I mean, even the faces. You know how the faces look so like, I don't know how to explain it. It just doesn't
Skyrim-ish.
Look real. Like,
yeah, Lost Gen. Like, call it Lost Gen.
They look like
mannequins. Lost Gen. Yeah.
Well, this guy went in there, and I was like shocked. Now it was—you can only do so much, but they did a lot, and the faces are much better to look at, you know, and stuff. It's almost worth going back and check the game out. He also changed all the sequences of traveling to the different planets and stuff. He also, from what I can tell, actually put some more flora and fauna and stuff on the planets where they were kind of barren before. And I'm like, damn, man, that's a lot of stuff. And again, a modder, and again, gets paid nothing.
And again, Bethesda. That's mostly the common thing.
Exactly.
So, The Witcher 3 was actually a good game when it came out. I mean, sure. Skyrim on the PC. A lot of people tend to forget this was barely playable at all when it came out. It's like, what is this?
I don't know. I played Skyrim. I didn't have a problem really. I mean,
yeah, but it just came out. I'm talking like the day one week, first week or something. It was like, what the hell?
World premiere.
Yeah,
we have to do that every time. It's just
sweet. As Gray, he's got another news article, but he's also continuing to do his best Phoebe Smelly Cat impression from Friends with the cold voice. So I should let him carry on with his next article, which is actually tech related.
I'm just going to stick this thing up my nose.
Go on, Phoebe, the second.
Can you tell I'm stuffed?
I hope you're talking about legal medicine and not something else, Greg, because that won't cure it. Make me feel good. But...
We had this talk before in the Discord, okay? So that's all good.
I got these coldies zinc lozenges going here. I got honey lemon lozenges here. Like,
man, you get a man flu. You get a man flu.
I'm saying this for everybody.
Going on.
Ray, Jesus, for everybody, man. Kids, don't do drugs, okay? Give them to me.
Yeah. Right? Just give do graphics cards.
Yeah. All right, let's see. I tell you what, why don't we skip to your story, Trav, and then come back to me. That'll give me a second to...
Yeah, okay. I'll give you a minute, man. Okay. The news article I've got there that's gaming-related is not a surprise, and it is a surprise, and that's the heavy rumor that Destiny 3 is in early development. This is according to some Bungie leakers out there, and you don't want your Bungie leaking because, trust me, guys, that's just messy. But no, two Bungie leakers.
59 years of cure.
It fixes anything. two Bungie leakers have come out publicly to say that Bungie had begun work in Destiny 3, but they went quiet for a little while. I don't know if they were, you know, Bungie were on their case and they had to lay low for a little while, but apparently it is a thing, and it's very, very early in the process at the moment. Now, the reason I thought that was surprising yet not surprising is logically because Destiny 2 has been slowing down, right? I've got the last two LDs, the last two DLCs, and I haven't played them. The last DLC is basically a Star Wars ripoff. And the one before that I still haven't finished either. But I've got them because I do like the game. But it's been losing player base for a while. Its player base has been going down. So there are some genuine gripes and problems with the game, the game engine. You'll notice when you play Destiny 2 that you can't have all the maps of the solar system in there at the same time. It can't handle that. So they bring in and out worlds and planets each time to suit the story. Whereas you'd ideally want a game engine and a game that could have them all in there, and then you could iron out all these issues and make it better, because Destiny 2 has been out for a while now. So I reckon if we get Destiny 3 out, I mean, God, if we got it out this decade, and yeah, I'm going to say this decade because it's barely started working on it. We know how long AAA games take these days, boys. So, you know, if we got it out this year, I mean, not as long as Bethesda. I mean, they'd literally take centuries, man. I think they started this game when the dinosaurs were still around to the last game. So,
they still don't have the record. I checked that last week. So, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is, I think, 17 years in development now. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I remember you mentioned that. Yeah.
The first 5 years were just drawing stick figures and stuff, and then they just kind of moved from there.
Wow. We'll never see that game, by the way, just saying. But
have all of you guys, I don't know if you have, Hans, have you ever played Destiny 2?
No, Destiny wasn't really for me, those kind of games.
Your cup of tea,
Destiny 2.
No.
I liked it.
And I know the boys have played it, so
somebody else out of the D club there.
I played a bunch of years ago, and then I played a bunch with you, Trev, and I like the game, but you're right. I mean, it's getting dated now, but I just wonder if they're really going to come out with this. I've heard this before, and they don't do anything.
It makes sense for them to do this, mate, because of the reasons I just mentioned, and because that marathon game that's coming out, I think, is probably going to flop. So they realise, we need to actually start working on this, and they'll just bring out smaller content updates for Destiny 2 in the meantime. It's the logical move, because the thing is, Sony might have pushed them into doing it, because Sony owned them, and Bungie with their own entity, they had their own board and stuff, and then because of the bloody mistakes that they kept making and the poor performance, the amount of money they were losing, Bungie, Sony stepped in and went, right, we're taking over now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they push them in that direction, because they want to actually start getting their money back for cost them over $200 million, that studio, so dollars. So, yeah, we see it this year. Sorry, this century, it'll be a minor miracle. If we get it a year too early, it'll be a bonus. So, yeah, back to you, Mr. Gray. And then we can skip it about. Matt can tell us about The Last of Us, and then you can go to your game news so that your poor wee voice can be rested.
Yeah, no problem. we reported on this, maybe a podcast or two ago, about China turning their attention to making an analog chip. And when I first read about it, I'm going like, well, wait a minute, why are they going analog? We all know that doesn't sound right. And yet they've actually been able to do things with it that apparently you can't do with digital. So it's almost like what old is new again, that old saying. So now I'm seeing another article. When I start seeing multiple articles, then you can kind of say, yeah, this is happening. And so this is a much bigger article that's a little more front and center. And they're showing the plant, actually, that they're doing this. But basically they said that where NVIDIA and AMD have dictated the pace of AI and computing, China has dropped a paradigm-shifting bombshell. And they said researchers from Peking University have unveiled their analog computing chip, that doesn't just compete, but it obliterates digital rivals by up to 1,000 times in speed. Not 100, and not 200, and not 500, 1,000 times. And I'm going like, really? And they said, meanwhile, it only sips power at a fraction of what the new of the chips to do now. So I'm actually really curious about this because I keep reading more and more about it, and I'm like, I want to know how this is all done. And basically what they're saying is they made the analog chip to mimic some of the processes of the human brain, how the human brain processes data. And so they tried to mimic this in the chip. And it doesn't go by zeros and ones now. It goes by impulses or electric signals like your brain. And they said that this is why one of the keys to this thing being able to do, you know, so well. If this really is true, and it's so far it seems to be, can you imagine where AI is going to go when it grabs onto these things? Yeah, I mean, AI is a fragile market. I mean, yes, NVIDIA is there making trillions of dollars and et cetera, et cetera. But if this gets a hold, can you imagine the bidders on this? They're going to come to this company in China and go like, how much you want?
I think it's more like a competition thing than because China is going to supply their own, right? We know China's a bit secluded.
Somebody bigger than these people is in China. We're going to buy it. But I'm really, really curious. Now, they said that this is what they call RR RAM, or in other words, RRAM, and it stands for Resistive Random Access Memory. So this is what the chips are based around, apparently. They claim they have no bottlenecks, that they've been able to get around all that, and that the power, of course, is much, much, much lower. And I think they're looking at it as being able not just to be a chip for the computer, but also to put into GPUs. This is going to be interesting, man. I'm going to definitely keep track of this because I just at first I thought it was kind of pie in the sky, but now when I'm seeing more and more articles coming out, it's something's going on. You know, obviously something's true about it, so that's kind of cool.
So I'm waiting for the gaming benchmarks.
Yeah, really. I mean, if it's 1,000 times, you can imagine the benchmarks you'll see. I'm like, holy shit.
Then my 5090 goes away.
Well, it was that's funny. I was going to say something when all of us now that have bought the higher-end cards now and stuff. I said,
no, not everyone has. Sorry, someone's
all except one, Gray. All except now, one. There's one person here.
Wait a minute. Matt's just a little below. Not much.
A little.
Anyway, worse
than the 4090, so it's below the 40 series.
Inch counts, man. I mean, yeah, sorry, nanometer.
It's going to be five minutes. That big, you never know. It's not in the smallness, it's in where it stretches.
It's all about the VRAM.
The girth, you mean? It's in the girth.
It's all about the nanometers, boys.
No, but what I'm going to say is, watch, we're all talking about how we're going to keep these cards for the next 2, 3, 4 years. Because of everything going on with memory.
2 or 3. Depends on the next flagship.
Yeah, but watch. 6 to 12 months from now, they're going to announce, like I said long ago, they're going to announce an AI GPU. I'm telling you, it's coming. Yeah. I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. And it's going to make all our cards obsolete.
Well, they kind of have it out at the moment, NVIDIA. They have that AI little mini supercomputer out, don't they?
Yeah. But their kind of AI is like... Look, AI's been around longer than you think. They've used AI cars that drive. Remember the cars that self-driving cars nobody actually driving it? Well, they had those models working way before the big AI boom came, you know, supposedly. And guess what that was running on? AI. I mean, it was just it was more or less in its infancy, but you'd be surprised how what you used to sit there and think wasn't AI was. So, hey, anything's possible. We'll see.
I did read about that, Gray, the article you just discussed, and I found it pretty interesting. I mean, I was thinking when you start to get these magnitudes of speed and increase, that you're starting to start talking about the quantum realm, you know, and not to get confused with Ant-Man here. But you would start getting involved in that. But it's amazing trying to mimic the human brain, man.
It's funny you mentioned quantum because I did read an article about this chip, a different article, and they did mention quantum, and they were saying in such a way that it not that you call this quantum, but quantum is known to do a lot of amazing things and kind of bend the laws of physics. And this is kind of what the chip's doing. So they're all just going like, if it wasn't for the fact that quantum was even around, maybe they would never have even messed with this chip. you know, but you never know. Okay. It drives people for different reasons, you know, costs and everything else. And, you know, well, I just can't believe an analog chip's going to do this. But now that I keep reading the articles, I'm really, really curious.
Well, I mean, great. There has to be more life left in analog chips because, these kind of chips because we're miles away from
consumer
grade quantum computing and all that for gaming. So there's plenty more life left, and we're getting to like 1.2 nanometers and 0.95 nanometers. They'll go down.
They'll milk us for all they got. Don't worry. So even if they can't do it, they'll milk us anyway. So
The cool thing about quantum is that when you go to produce a chip, it's already been produced.
That's like
leads to another and it's done. That's, you know, we're getting into the multiverse thing now.
No, let's not do that. My head will hurt.
Theory.
Fair enough. Okay, cheers for that, Mr. Gray. Moving on. I'm interested in this because I loved it and... Mr. Hans hated it, and that was Matt. He was playing The Last of Us remastered recently, so that'd be the first one, Matt. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. I bought both of them on sale from Loaded. I was gonna do the elf.
How much did you pay? Did you get a good price?
Yeah. So £40, probably less than £40, both of them.
Wow. That is good.
Yeah. So it's pretty good.
Sure. Yeah. Amazing.
With a few extra freebies thrown in. We're revisiting a good old classic here, The Last of Us Remastered. For many of us, this game was defining the PlayStation experience when it first launched back in them days.
Defining.
I remember. Defined. Yes, back then it were. I remember playing this ages ago on PlayStation, and I was hitting a wall in an infamous basement sequence, where I was separated from Ellie and getting face-to-face with a hulking bloater and unable to push through. I just kept dying. It was an absolute mess.
A hulking bloater? Is that
a bloater.
Homeless?
That's one of the monsters that we never see in the TV series.
Yeah. So I wasn't able to get through that one. So from there, I just went, yeah, and never played it since. But I've seen parts of it through other people's gameplay through Twitch and all that stuff. I do miss this game. So there we go. It was a moment that kind of stuck with me and very punishing and very unforgettable, as you can tell. So now I've been playing the Master Edition. That same encounter feels kind of different. Like the mechanics are tighter. The pacing was a little bit more forgiving. Like I was able to get around. But I'm not sure if it's the same exact sequence or area, or whether they actually changed it completely, because in this, the one that I remember was you're in a basement of somewhere, maybe a school, I think, and it's a big squared area, and you had pylons in the middle, and this thing would come at you and pretty much destroy you pretty much every chance.
Wasn't that the first boss, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I was like, you know, with this one, I didn't get that. I was at the school, but it was around some corridors, and then you had like a little area with generators instead. When we first meet this bloater, you're in the gym, aren't you? So it was totally different. So totally different for me that time. So I was able to overcome it. It was quite easy, and I carried on with the game from there. It was pretty good from there. So it's still kind of has the balance of brutal challenges and emotional storytelling, for me anyway, from my side. The visuals, the remaster has stunning textures, the lighting is good, and character detail with a breath of in.
How does it look when you're 5080? Do you think it would look a lot better than a 5090?
If you could send me your one, I can test it out just to make sure.
Stop messing with Matt.
There is nothing that can redeem that. I was going to be fine. Sorry. Continue. No.
So sorry, it's the Matt. Greatest game ever to be given a storyline.
Absolutely not. Okay?
No, in terms of a storyline. He did say storyline at the end.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
I just love it. It's better than the TV show, so that's saying something.
It's
Yeah. But the second season was pants. I liked the first season. The second season was just shit.
They were both utter crap, but please continue.
I'm not going to go as far as say utter crap, but I wasn't impressed with the first or second season. But I definitely wasn't impressed with the second season, even more than the first.
I think I saw one and a half episode of, and I was like, I'm done. The first one I slogged through for Grey's Green Room back in the day, which was a horrible experience for me.
Oh, rest in peace, Grey's Green Room.
Yeah. And the second one,
we gave it up for the greater glory, which is this one.
So the same for the games, by the way. I slogged through those two games, and it was a horrible experience. I was like, is this the game that all these PlayStation fans are like raving about? For me, and this is a personal opinion, right? It's one of the most boring, stupid games that I've ever played, right? There's nothing in that game that compels me. The pacing is just complete and utter crap. Let's be polite here.
I can see the emails coming in now.
Yeah.
I mean, the story was all over the place. Didn't make any goddamn sense at all. I mean, then when you're playing the game, right, it's like this typical Sony third person over the camera stealth element thingy, whatever you want to call it, right? And nothing is happening in that game. Like, absolutely nothing. You just walk around big empty zones collecting what? I was like, oh, continue, please, Matt. I need to.
Don't hold back now, mate. Do not hold back.
Then release those demons.
Okay, and the second one was even worse. I mean, there was a lot of controversy about the second one. We all know why, because everybody now knows the spoilers, I guess, because what's his name dies? Pedro Pascal in the series. And
I was waiting for that.
I still wonder, right, whose brain that idea it was to have you play with the killer of one of the main protagonists of the game, right? Somebody... Yep. Over there had to know that it was a really terrible idea. That combined it with the fact that it was an even more boring experience than the first half of the game. And then there's this one scene that traumatized me completely. Let's not go into details that. There, I guess we all know what
the rabbit,
we mean.
The arrow.
No. The triple X scene that's in there in the second game at some point where Abby gets... Where Abby gets the doggy style very vividly in-game. I was like, why is this even in here? It didn't amount to anything in this game. And the gameplay is exactly the same as the first one, right? You just collect stuff from God knows where. You upgrade your weapons for absolutely no reason. The story was once again literally all over the place. It's just, it was so boring. I'm sorry.
Well, so I've got both of the games. I played them both back in the day. Actually, no, I played The Last of Us Part 1 when it was because it came out on the PS3, and I played it in the PS4. That was upgraded then, and it was, I enjoyed that. And then the second one came out for PS5 and PS4, but the PS5 version was pretty good. I got it for that because it came out before PC, so I wanted to play that. I enjoyed both parts. The second part was going on a bit too long, and I wanted it to kind of finish, but I was still engrossed in the story. I like the kind of story side of things, and that's why they cost so much fecking money to make these things. The production value they usually stick into these things is very high.
True. And then I got to give credit to the visuals and the production quality of The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. It's high.
So that I can't fault anything. So when it comes to pure visuals, no, the game looks stunning. So
And then they remastered both of them and renamed them Part 1, Part 2. The thing is, Matt, I've got both the remasters now, right? But I don't know if I'd ever play them because, I don't know about you boys, but I very rarely go back and play a game I've already played unless it's like a kind of multiplayer or easy quick game because there's so much new content out there, there's never the time. So as much as I would want to play so many other games, I've got all this new stuff to play. Like,
for me, that depends on the game for me. Right, so let's say the Resident Evil ones that are remade, that I replayed because I love Resident Evil.
And they did remake them pretty well years after.
Which, The Last of Us... it's more like a visual upgrade, so to speak. It's a big visual upgrade, by the way, and there's probably some quality of life changes also there. But it's not like the game wasn't rebuilt from the ground up. So that's maybe the thing. There's I very rarely go back to play a game again, same as you, Trev. I mean, I can count those games on one hand probably that I played two times.
I'm pretty much the same way.
The only game I played actually three times was Bulletstorm. Like over 10 years
ago. Ooh, I remember that one.
Bulletstorm was fun. I mean, I really... To this day, I still don't see games that are quite as fun as that game. That game was just totally... And everybody's ripped it off as far as getting into the gore and blood and gore of it. But they did it so well, man. And then nobody was doing stuff like that back then.
True. I still have the original disc here somewhere from Bulletstorm.
I have the regular, and I also have the...
Games for Windows Live.
So. Well, then they did, They did a remaster though, where they added Duke Nukem in there, but he really didn't lend anything to the
kick ass jukebox. I'm all out of game.
The thing that was the best back then, Bulletstorm, like at no other game, had the whip, and he used it like a power whip. So he would throw the whip out and grab a bad guy by the neck or the arm, or whatever, and then he would crack it like this with his hand. It would travel through the whip and blow the crap out of him in a million pieces.
Sounds like an OP version of Indiana Jones.
It's a shame that game never really took off, huh? I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of fans, and there was at one point it was getting really close to getting a sequel, and then it didn't happen. But it's a shame. Yeah. The game was great. I mean,
it was a great game.
I mean, I'll still go back and play it. The graphics are still good. I mean, True. You know, but there's just like totally inventive. Gore, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word. But they used to come up with some of the weirdest... it's almost like Borderlands in a way. Borderlands comes up with all these bizarre guns and stuff, but the only thing with Borderlands, though, is after a while, there's too many guns. You know, whereas Bulletstorm...
Too
which
many guns!
Borderlands is over the top when it comes to the amount of guns in there.
Bulletstorm would pick on a good... You know, 8, 9, 10 different weapons that did some really weird stuff, and then they would just—that's it. You know, that you would just be able to upgrade them some, but generally speaking, they weren't. Another one I thought was great. You don't, and again, if you see it anywhere else, it came from this game. They had a drill spike, so this guy carried on a weapon with a big drill bit on it, a pointed drill bit, and this thing, and it revs up, and then he hits a button. And then this drill bit just goes right through a whole bunch of people and pins them against a wall. It was great. Man. I love that. It was so great. I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And you can play on harder mode and you get your butt kicked. Man, it's like not that easy.
The good old games for Windows Live days.
Man.
They were the days, man. They were the days. I remember that so well. So, Matt, how far have you got through the game then?
I've got to the snowy part where she's hunting down and left Joel on his arse, pretty much.
Is that where he gets shot or something, if I remember?
Yeah,
he's healing up.
Lamped. Yeah, pretty much.
Is that the cannibal things that they come into contact
right
with?
Next to the cannibals. Yeah, I think those people are hunting me down at the moment. at some place. So, yeah. Wonderful times. Cool, yeah, cool, so it's very cinematic. The story is pretty good. There you go. And I still got I think there's like an add-on where you go through the sequence of Joel versus the second.
Yeah, the thing is though, is it your opinion also that this game is like more like a cutscene simulator sometimes?
It is. It's very cinematic.
2 minute gameplay.
2 minutes.
20 minute cutscene. 1 minute gameplay. It's like. Asinine.
It is. I actually got so pissed off half of the time. I was like, I'm still
thank you. I'm not alone in this one.
No. That bit, absolutely true. It is like a cutscene simulator. It's just like,
I'm going to go back and remaster it and put in, instead of those cutscenes, I'm going to put in scenes from the series.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Bella Ramsey mod out there if you want to, Gray.
I heard about that.
Potato mod.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I can either confirm or not deny.
Oh, one positive thing I also have to say about Last of Us and the second one, they have great collector's editions.
Do actually have collector's editions.
True. As a collector edition person, you would buy it even if you hated the game, right?
I got the second one.
He loves it. He's mad.
No, there's actually no game in there. He's got the statue, though.
Very good.
Well, there you go. That's the story of The Last of Us. That's The Last of Us.
That's The Last of It. You got a very good deal there, my friend. You got a very good deal there. Well done, you. Maybe I'll get around to playing them at some point in this century. Who knows? Okay, to finish off there, we gave Smelly Cat Man there a little chance to rest his little poor wee voice. Yeah. We do have some game news for Gray to shout us out. So go for it, Mr. Gray.
Yeah, my first story, I think Trev might like this. Apparently Nintendo is going to acquire Splatoon 3 co-developer Bandai Namco.
Yeah,
Bandai Namco has been around for a long time and has done a lot of games. And I was kind of wondering, you know, what was behind all this. And apparently Nintendo was working with them on a couple of different games. In fact, Splatoon 3 being one of them. They also worked on them some with Ace Combat and Tekken. And I guess they were very happy, Nintendo, with the collaboration. So what do? They turn around and went, here's a whole bunch of cash. So basically, there will be no more Bandai Namco Studio Singapore. It will now change and it'll be Nintendo Singapore. So it,
yeah, the thing is, though, they're a multi-platform company. So I wonder if they're going to lock it now behind Nintendo only over there, or they're going to keep, you know, doing multi-plat releases for their games.
I think I think it's a shame because, I mean, Bandai is a very old game name, and I'm kind of feel bad that there's not even a mention of the Bandai somewhere. I mean, I would have, I don't know, I would have tried to kept it in there somewhere just to keep the name going, but they just, like, they're obliterating that.
Does it say how much it was for, Gray? Because Bandai Namco are not a small studio, so that must have cost Nintendo a pretty penny.
Yeah, it doesn't have a price right now. Maybe it'll come around, but they said that Nintendo plans to acquire an 80% stake in Bandai on April 1st, 2026, and then they're going to acquire the remaining shares once the subsidiary's operations have stabilized.
Right.
One way or the other, they're buying it out completely.
So they're gonna have to keep doing multi-plat, otherwise they're not gonna get the stakes.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that, you know, they bought it for the reason of it being so successful. So why would they go against the grain? I would think.
Yeah, true.
You know, but we'll see. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, the other story I had was kind of interesting. This is back to Ubisoft. I just love talking about them and all the dumb things.
Oh, you do, man. You're their biggest and worst fan at the same time.
I know. It's great. I sit there and I kill them and then I love the game or whatever. But anyway, it said that Ubisoft became the latest publisher to hitch itself to the generative AI bandwagon. Apparently, they're sitting there saying they would. What is it? Oh, yeah. It says at least that's the pitch, they say. Apparently, during a behind-closed-doors briefing attended by a game developer, the company unveiled an R&D experiment called Teammates. Teammates uses generative AI technology, Google Gemini, and to be specific, okay, to turn NPCs into living companions that can recall player information, follow contextual commands, offer insights about tasks, dispense lore, tweak settings, and just have a chin wag with you. And I'm going like, whoa, okay. So we've been talking about this for some time. They just come right out and say it. Like, this game is going to be controlled by AI, at least partially. So, I don't want to pass judgment until we actually get to play the game and see.
There are some interesting possibilities with AI, especially in open-world sandbox games. But I'm color me skeptical about those things, especially the first few iterations.
I know it's moving really fast, but still, you know, you can have a bunch of NPIs just start saying the wrong things to you. Hey, you suck, and I'll tell you why. I'll give you the statistics of why you suck. You couldn't play a game that movie if your life depended on it.
I'm actually creating a small AI game where you have to bully an old man into buying a 1590. So.
Oh, yeah? What's it called?
It's called Bully the BD old man. Game.
It's the BD game.
Yeah, the BDC game. So,
anyway, I think Ubisoft is saying stuff or doing stuff like this because they need to start making money, you know, and stuff, which is why they sold off part of it to Tencent. You know, so I'll tell you one thing though: if Tencent doesn't come out with a really good game, since they took on the best IPs that Ubisoft has, then it really goes down the tubes. So. You know, don't want to say that's going to be a long, long while off, you know, until they do something like that.
The thing is, though, for as much as I hate Ubisoft, I don't want to see them go away. They used to be my favorite.
I don't either, but
they used to be my favorite company. So.
Used to be mine, too, man. I played all the games, and at one time I even paid for Ubisoft Connect's Game Pass thing.
You mean, Gray, you paid for the same game, but just slight variations of the same formula, rinse and repeat, pretty much.
Not to me, though. Only some of those rinse and repeat. Well, you know, you could technically say that all the Sniper Elite games are rinse and repeat, and yet I love those games. I can't get enough of them. They're great.
Great.
But they apparently get better with each iteration, which Assassin's Creed got progressively worse with each iteration. So.
Well, I think it was like a cyclical thing where it went really well, and then it just started falling off. I mean, to this day, I still think, I know you're a little different on this one, Hans, but I think our Origins is the best of the games. Period.
Orange is good. Yeah, no, I
just because it was the first of doing this new open world thingy, but I just thought it was the best. I could play that game again, whereas some of the other ones I would.
For me, it was Odyssey that was the best. So
no, that was good too. I mean, I loved it, but
Valhalla I didn't really like because it was too big, so to speak.
Oh my god, like, talk about big,
too
holy
bloated.
Holy.
Yeah, too bloated.
It was too big, man. You don't make something that big just for the sake of it. What's the point?
Way too bloated.
And it's rinse and repeat. It's the same thing over and over for that big game.
I'm a number one Assassin's Creed fan. You know that, and even I only got through about half that stuff because it just they just kept coming out with another DLC, another DLC, another DLC, another DLC. I'm going, oh my god, just relax.
And you know the biggest disappointment is Shadows for me. That's the biggest Assassin's Creed disappointment for me because
I wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10, but I'm still enjoyed the game. I wouldn't go past the 7.
We as fans were asking for years, please do an Assassin's Creed in Japan, right?
Yeah.
And this is what we got.
The bummer but Ubisoft really missed the boat on that one because by the time they got to the point where they released one about Japan, people have already done it. You had the Black Wukongs out there and a couple of other different ones. So they could have taken that whole market at that time if they had done it, but...
Yeah, I'm sad about that one. The game isn't bad, but it's sad.
Well, here's another new AI thing that is interesting. It says AI-generated GTA 6 gameplay, quote, leaks are going viral following the announcement of the delay. So the poster who did this on YouTube admitted that they're AI, and he stated how incredibly easy it was to fool people.
That should be part of your AI corner. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but it's game too, so that's what's kind of funny. Yeah, but they said that it looked pretty good. Apparently, I don't know if it's still up on YouTube or whether they took it down. I think he posted it originally on November 19th, and it got 6,100 likes and 1.8 million views.
They're all at it, Gray. That's AI stuff. They're all at it. They'll all be on the same bandwagon. By the end of this, and some for legit reasons, like game testing and whatnot and QA, which is what a good use of AI is for in this industry. But then some of them, like, maybe not as much Ubisoft, but certainly, who was it that stole it? It was Bungie that stole the art and used a lot of AI there. So
what I think is also very interesting is the YouTuber calls himself Zap. Act 2, ACTU, GTA 6.
Oh, God.
So he actually puts GTA 6 in the name of himself.
Well, so actually, that's a good troll.
No doubt about it. But, they said it was really good and it fooled a whole lot of people, and they all thought it was the real stuff. There's still rumors going around saying that it is the real stuff. People are still believing it.
Well, there was a leak before, so I mean, it is possible. I say no.
People
but...
believe the earth is flat, so don't worry about this one. Yeah.
They do, mate, on top of a big turtle.
It allegedly showed a gameplay moment of someone controlling the co-protagonist Lucia, whatever.
What the hell is Matt doing?
As she walked along what happened to be a beach with dynamic weather systems that produced heavy clouds and rain showers. The video went viral, getting 34,000 likes, 8.1 million views.
Wow.
Crazy.
Anyway,
I just thought that would be fun to mention that. But, by the time the game comes out, they'll probably have an entire game already made by other people.
Exactly.
And call it by something else, maybe.
I do have to check what Matt is up to, man. What are you doing, son? We see a bit of your flesh. What are you actually doing?
My camera's gone all shy, and it's like, no, I'm not, no.
It's trying to keep him framed automatically.
It's trying to do the opposite. It's trying to move away from me. Every time I move, it goes, heck
that's
no.
That's because you don't have a 5090.
Because it's zooming. Yeah, it's denying me. It's like,
that's never got old. It'll never get old. I was enjoying making fun of Greg. Now it's Matt. It's not quite as funny now.
We're Matt.
I'm going to stick up for Matt. Leave Matt alone.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah.
The unofficial AI corner to finish.
I have one announcement. I know you guys were waiting to hear this, right? Hideo Kojima is to deliver the keynote at GDC 2026. I can't wait. That's going to be March 12th. I'm not excited at all. I don't want to hear the guy do anything.
Look, the guy makes apparently good video games, but...
Apparently.
I mean, Metal Gear, I guess, was fine.
What else did he do? Silent Hill?
He did Metal Gear, the Phantom Pain.
Those walking simulators, they are... You know what? They are more boring than The Last of Us.
The first one definitely is. The second one I heard actually has some merit to it, supposedly. I don't know. I haven't played it, but I had no desire to play the first one. All I see is this guy running around delivering things and like the stories he gets into. It's a movie. Just make the movie. Forget the game.
If it wasn't for Norman Reedus, I would have never played that game in the first place. So that's the only reason I tried to play it and was like, in 3 hours, like, okay, this is really boring. I'm done.
Quite right, man. Quite right.
If they want to pay me, I might think about it. But anyway, I'm definitely going to tune in. No, I'm not. As soon as he makes that speech.
Don't have to pay me. Just give me a 5090.
Yeah,
I want to see the 30-second highlights when he's done with the speech. That should be
I'll read the keynote, so that's enough.
Well, it'll be a slightly shorter pod from us this week because Gray's a bit under the weather. Let's say he joined us for a good chunk of it. Well done, you, Gray. That 5090 got you through it.
Well done.
And a boo for Matt. And a boo for Matt for not getting a 5090 and sticking with a 5080.
Oh, leave alone.
We will be back next week.
I couldn't do a DGP quiz. I apologize, but in between sneezes, it was impossible. So.
As they say in Outlander, Denny Fash.
I have one quick question, maybe that I should ask before we leave them.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Should we kick Matt out of the Big D Club?
No.
He's relegated to cleaning our GPUs, our 5090s. He has to get in and scrub them now, so.
I got a tiny brush for it.
Ability for Matt.
He's going to bet me 5090. Ah, that's so cool.
Don't buy we're going to peer pressure him, man. He'll be like, he'll be looking under the couch and everything for his kid and be like, oh, damn, I had to sell my kid on eBay, man, to afford my bloody 5090.
Aren't you a little bit
kids on to make, eBay?
Yeah.
Aren't you a little bit proud that you were able to bully Gray into buying a 5090? I mean, this is an accomplishment, man. I mean, we accomplished this one. So
we should have commendations.
I hope it can fit. It'll definitely fit in my case. My case is huge. More than 1,000-watt power supply, right?
You're okay with that. You're okay with that.
1,000 is okay for the 5090.
1,200 is comfortable, but 1,000
is
fine.
1,000 is more than enough for the 5090. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they do recommend a minimum of 1,000, I think. I'm sure for that. Yeah.
You're not even getting, especially with an X3D chip, you're not even getting close. You're not even getting close to 1,000 watts.
It's a safety thing. You always aim for more than you actually need in purpose.
I have an Astral card, and I got 605 watts at the most that I got out of it while overclocking and benchmarking.
How do you know that? Do you have one of those plugs plugged in?
There's a few programs that you can actually... It doesn't say what it is.
How does it know?
It calculates.
It's an old style voltmeter. He just puts two prongs into his.
Programs like a hardware motor. They calculate it. So
it's much easier just to plug in the thing that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's 100% sure. But I'm pretty confident in a hardware monitor.
And you'll have a limited number of plugs and sockets in your man cave, Hans, because how small it is. So.
Oh, don't worry about that one. There is enough sockets here.
You got it right, man. Right. We will be back next week for the EGP quiz. We'll be back. We'll give Gray a week off, man. Thank you to everyone. As always, remember to get your questions in the Discord if you want to ask anything hardware, gaming related, or if you want to make the take the piss at Matt for being a smaldy, then please do. But until next week, thank you very much, guys. Take it easy and all the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Matt, get it for the 90.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.